Prologue. It was Christmas Eve. A few guests were staying with me in my country house for Christmas, and one of them was telling us a ghost story. We were very quiet, as people usually are when they are listening to frightening stories. In the story, a small child was sleeping in the same room as his mother. The child saw a ghost and was very frightened. He woke his mother, but before she had time to tell him it wasn't real, she saw the ghost too, and was as frightened as her son. When the story was finished, a lady friend of mine called Eleanor stood up. "I've heard many ghost stories, but this one is unusual," she said. "The fact that the ghost first appeared to the small child makes the story especially frightening." "So what would you say about a ghost story with two children?" I asked. "Well, Douglas, I'd say it was two times more frightening," Eleanor exclaimed. "And I want to hear it." I was standing with my back to the fire while I was listening to her words, my hand in my pocket, looking at my friends. "Nobody has ever heard this story but me," I said. "It's very strange and frightening."
"I want to hear it," my friend Daniel said. "Sit down, Douglas, and tell us the story immediately."
"Well," I said slowly, "it's written in a manuscript that has been locked in the desk in my study for many years."
"Is it about something that happened to you?"
Daniel asked quietly.
"Oh, thank heavens, no," I exclaimed. "I've had the manuscript for 20 years. My sister's governess wrote it and sent it to me before she died. The governess was a marvelous person. Her name was Catherine Blake, and I met her one summer when I came home from university. But the story happened to her long before I met her, and she never told it to anybody except me."
"Oh, please bring it down," some of the guests said together.
I saw that they really wanted to hear this incredible story, so I went upstairs and took the manuscript from my desk. Before I read it, I told my friends a little more about my sister's governess. "Catherine Blake came from a nice but poor family," I explained. "At the age of 20, she decided to become a governess and went to London to meet her future employer, Lord Henry Chine. Lord Henry was handsome and rich, and he lived in an elegant house in the centre of the city. He was not married, and his life was very active. He ate expensive food and drank the very best wine. He liked good clothes and was always elegantly dressed. Lord Henry had a younger brother who was married and had two children. The brother and his wife had died in an accident in India 2 years before, and Lord Henry had become responsible for their two orphan children, a boy and a girl. Miles, the boy, was 10 years old, and the little girl, Flora, was 7. I paused for a moment, then continued. Lord Henry loved Miles and Flora and felt compassion for them, but he was too busy to take care of them. In his opinion, London wasn't a healthy place for children, so he sent them to Bly, his other house in the country. Bly was very big and included a mansion with beautiful gardens, a forest, fields, and a lake. A woman called Mrs. Groves was responsible for Bly. Apart from her, there were other servants who took care of everything, and a governess who looked after the children. Unfortunately, the last governess had died, and so Miles was sent to boarding school. Miles came home to Bly for the holidays.
Lord Henry made it very clear that there was one condition with the job of governess, I continued. The person who became governess to Miles and Flora would be completely responsible for them. The new governess would have to take care of everything alone, because Lord Henry didn't want to be worried by any problems or questions about the children. Bly was in a remote part of the country, and Catherine was a little worried about that. She thought that it might be lonely work, but the salary was so good that she couldn't refuse. Catherine decided to accept the job. Lord Henry thanked her, and she never saw him again. I turned to my friends, observing their fascinated expressions, all of them anxious to hear more of my story. "Now, my friends," I said dramatically, taking the manuscript, "I will read you Catherine Blake's story." I turned to the first page and started to read aloud.